Before we get started, guys, I want to, you know, at least address a little bit what I know all you guys are going to probably be asking me. You know, with my situation outside of this week, it's, you know, I'm definitely excited about that, but it's not really something that I know what the situation is right now. The way the NFL makes these rules and the way it is, it actually keeps it. This is my first time going through it, but now seeing how the rules are, I see why it is this way. It makes it pretty easy for us. You know, you're only allowed to talk to teams when you do have a bye week. Got that opportunity a couple weeks ago. Regardless of what happens in this game, win or lose, you can talk to them again when your season's over or if you get another bye week. So I know I think I'll get that opportunity next week, whatever happens, and I plan on doing that. But besides that, the NFL keeps it pretty simple for you because you're not really allowed to talk. You can't really go there one way or another. So I'm looking forward to having those conversations next week. But really, until then, I really don't have much else for you guys. It's makes it very easy to focus on the thing that's most important, and that's Sunday.
Kyle, is there an understanding, though, that there is an offer on the table, but you have to deal with that next week?
No, there's definitely no understanding of that. You know, I think there's some interest, obviously, but there's definitely no understanding. I felt that in my interview a couple weeks ago. You know, looking forward to a chance where you can speak to people again, but it's a pretty good situation to be in as far as where our team's at right now. You know, this is the coolest moment I've had in my career, just being in a game like this. And it's, you know, I used to think that the rules weren't that cool. I love the rules because it makes it very simple for me. It's cut and dry. You don't have an option. There's a lot of stuff out there. My friends growing up hear all this stuff. My wife hears this stuff. But everyone wants to ask me what's going on, and it's I don't know. I'm in my office looking at film all day, and there's nothing I'm allowed to do about it. So I think I'll have an idea of that after the game. I don't know what day that'll be, whether it's Monday or the following week. I'm not sure. And right now, I truly don't care.
Is it a distraction even just having answered questions about it?
I mean, it was like 5 minutes before I came in here. I had to think about what I was going to say to you guys, but it's not a distraction because, and that's what I said, that's why rules I thought weren't cool rules, they actually are, because it makes it very easy for you. You don't have an option, so there's nothing to get distracted about. You can put that aside, totally focus on right here and right now, and that's not tough to do. This is an opportunity that I personally, as a coach, have been, and I've wanted to win a playoff game my entire career and got to do that last week, and know right now that we have a chance to play for a Super Bowl is pretty much what's consuming my mind, and it's something we're enjoying and not going to miss this opportunity.
I'll ask you something on another subject.
Thank you.
Four quarterbacks left, all have different kind of styles, obviously all very successful. In your mind, as an offensive guy and a guy who's coached quarterbacks, is there a common thread at all between the four in your mind?
Yes. You know, I believe, you know, in order to be one of the few people on the planet who can do that type of stuff, you have to have a very gifted arm, not just an arm strength, but you have to just be a very pure natural thrower. You were born to do it. And all four of those guys in there can do that. If you're not one of those eight people on the planet who are that way, you better be extremely gifted in some other aspect. And there are a lot of guys in the league who don't have that pure throwing ability, but they make up for it in other areas. I believe all these guys that are left in it are some of the top throwers in the world. And when you can throw like that, it makes things a lot easier, and it makes for the offense, and it makes things a lot harder for the defense.
Did you wonder if Matt was one of those guys before he did started to do the things he did this year?
No, not at all. I mean, my first year as a quarterback coach, and I had to evaluate quarterbacks coming out of college, was the year Matt and Flacco came out, and you could see just from their throwing ability, you could see that back in college. But it's not all just about throwing ability. It's what the person inside. You have to have a certain intelligence level to handle all this stuff, but you have to be able to handle the pressure. Everyone's going to have a pressure, and that's usually what separates people. And you never really know that about someone until you get around someone. That's what's been great about being around Matt. Everyone, just from watching him, you know how talented he is. That's why he was, I think, the third pick in the draft, and he should have been, if not higher. But then when you get with him and you see what's inside, that's when you realize that, all right, it's not just the talent. This guy is a special player, special person.
I saw a clip, I assume from last year, where you guys were sitting on the bench together, and he said to you, man, I just can't wait until I know this whole thing inside and out. There's just an excitement level there. How did that progress? What kind of stuff did he pick up on this year that maybe he didn't understand at the beginning?
Reps and time. It's not just about understanding. I mean, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to pick up everything. You work at it and you study it. You'll see it on the board. You can draw it up, but that's what coaches do. I understand it pretty good and know it inside out, and I would have no chance doing it. So it's being able to react and feel and do stuff in the pocket. And that's not just learning it and being able to regurgitate it. That's, feeling everything. You got to go through certain reps where it looked this way on the board but it didn't work live. Why didn't it? It's being able to adjust, learn from your mistakes as you go through it. And, people have success, people, struggle, but to me, the way you really improve at stuff is when you go through adversity and you battle through it and you learn from it. And, I think everyone does that. Usually guys do it in their rookie years. They do it when they're in new offenses. They do it when they're going against a very good defense. And then you learn the next time you go against that defense, what do you got to do differently? And Matt did a lot of good things last year. I mean, I think our whole offense did, to tell you the truth, but we definitely didn't reach our expectations. But I think we were a lot closer last year than people realized. And I think Matt knew that. I think I knew that. I think a lot of people in our building knew that. And either get stronger from it or you get worse. And Matt's the type of guy that looks in the mirror a lot and started working on it right away. And he knew the stuff he learned, even though he was close, he was going to be a hell of a lot better the next year. And it showed as soon as he got to OTAs.
He told me that as much as you guys talking about what did work, kind of tailoring it for year two was about learning what didn't work. What kind of stuff did he come to you and say, okay, maybe this isn't what I'm comfortable with, let's do it this way? What specific things?
You start to see, you know, what guys are more comfortable with. You know, a lot of times when I first got here, Matt wasn't as comfortable with his back to the defense. You know, he hadn't done a ton of play action in his career. And I get that. And, you know, hey, Kyle, why do we have to do it the play fake? I can just stand back and throw that the same. And I'm like, you're right, you can. But I know it's harder for you with your back to the defense, but you keep doing that, it might slow down the protection too. You might get the D-line to play the run instead of just teeing off on you. Now your O-line might get a little bit better. And you hear that stuff as a player, but when you struggle and you go through adversity, you want to make sure you do what you've been successful with. Well, I think Matt's always believed it, but as he's continued to get more comfortable with it, he is comfortable with his back to the defense now. Not because he's just trusted me or taking my word for it, because he's done it for 2 years. And just like all you guys and anyone in the world, you keep doing stuff, you get better at it. And now it's not a big deal to him. So if it's the same for him to have his back to the defense or drop back and throw, I'm sure he's probably going to choose, well, what's going to help the O-lineman block Michael Bennett? I'll probably go with that if you can do both. And so there's some give and take, and you always want to take the easier way out for yourself, but sometimes the easier way out for yourself can be what's easier for the other 10 guys. That'll make it easier for yourself, even if it's a little bit harder.
How much is this the same offense then that you ran in Washington with different personnel, Cleveland different personnel? I know you adapt, but is it the same thing?
I mean, everything's the same verbiage. Everything starts with a run game and what you do off of that run game to put people in binds. I mean, you know, we had a lot of success in Washington 2012. We ran a lot of play action there. Most of those concepts were the same ones we're doing here. You tweak them game to game a little each week. The difference is our play actions here are more off of outside and inside zone. And in 2012 in Washington, they were more off the zone read. But the concepts were all still the same. It's what's going to be your running game? How is our defense going to stop that run game? And what are you going to do off that? It's all similar stuff, but you got to tweak it based off your players. But there's a system you start with, and then it branches off depending on what your personnel is.
How special are the two running backs you have here, both in their ability on the field and their ability to not have big enough egos that they don't mind sharing?
It's great. I mean, they're very close and very competitive. They both want to be in there every single play, and they both want each other's routes, and they're both capable of doing each other's routes, which is a good problem for me. But they both support the heck out of each other. And I think they also know deep down that even though they want them both be out there every play, they're both better when they're not. You can keep those guys juiced up and fresh. You get their best every single play, and that's not always a situation you can be in as a coach, because sometimes you take the best guy off and the next guy comes in and you're limited. And with those guys, they both are very similar. They both can do the same thing. And there's different traits between the two of them, but there's not a play that one guy can do that the other can't.
Last question.
Is there anything, all four of these guys are, you know, well, and Matt's the young guy of the bunch, and we know the rules have been set up to protect quarterbacks over the years, and we've certainly seen. But is there anything about these four that stands out to you about their longevity and, you know, them being really good, but kind of staying relatively healthy? I know Ben's had a little bit, but these guys have been out there. Matt's only missed two games in his career. Yeah. Is there anything they do to, you know, kind of can, to make sure they're out on the field and stay out there and limit the injuries and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think when you have a lot of confidence in your throwing ability, when you're a tough person also and you can always keep your eyes down the field, you know how to protect yourself because you know how to get rid of the ball. You'll see some of these guys, they hold on to it forever when they can, and when they have no protection, they get rid of it very fast. They don't get caught in the pocket and try to turn into a running back or something. They stay in there, and they know when they can hold on to it, and they know when to get rid of it. And most of these guys, you know, that are left, you know, none of them were running the zone read or winning any Heismans based off their legs and stuff. They were pretty much since Pop Warner, they've been learning how to stay in that pocket and learn how to play the position, and that you don't have much other option when you're that way. You can't. I remember when I played quarterback when I was little, if they were calling a pass, I was running because I didn't want to get hit in the pocket and I wasn't going to sit and learn how to throw. These guys, they've sat there for a long time and they've learned how to look at coverages and they've learned how to get rid of the ball. And when you can do that, you can protect yourself a little bit more. When you have days where the protections aren't there, they don't get hit as much as people think.